So we've learned the Gemara so far. The Shai has been from the beginning of your testimony. Base has been, again, going back to two Mishnayos. How do you know, well, there's two Mishnayos referring to the lav of eating Maizah Sheni. One, the Gemara explains that one Mishnah refers to the lav of eating Maizah Sheni outside Yerushalayim, and the first Mishnah refers to the Issa of eating Maizah Sheni when it's Tomei. You are Tomei, or the Maizah Sheni is Tomei. The Gemara requests a source for this, and the Gemara says the source for when you are Tomei, that's a requirement for a Shabbosim. The source when the Maizah Sheni is Tomei, that we learn out from Bechoy. It's a Gzeirah Shava, Leisuk Alecho Bishorecho, and by Bechoy, Shorecho refers to eating it the Tara. So here refers to the lab of not eating it. By Bechoy, the Bishorecho refers to the allowance to eat it the Tumor. So here we'll say Leisuk Alecho Bishorecho says a lab not to eat it when you are Tomei. Then the Gemara goes on and says, a few shaylos about Maizah Sheni. Sorry, the Gemara first says, okay, so you know there's a lav to eat it. How do you know you can redeem it? And therefore, once you redeem it, buy something else. How do you know you can do that? Maybe you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it. Nothing you can do with it. And the Gemara brings from the expression, the pasuk by Maizah Sheni says, if you can't, generally the Gemara refers to, you can't carry it. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. We infer from the pasuk at the end of the last week's parasha that sa'is is an expression of food. Kilo suchal sa'isa, you can't eat it. And why can't you eat it? Because it's tolik. And kilo suchal sa'isa, you can't eat it. Instead, you can be poyder. The pasuk says, then you can, in that such an instance where kilo suchal sa'isa, that's when you can eat it. Now, I think, Jonathan, you asked the other week, what's the root of the word sa'is? And the person I asked said to me that the root is nothing. Actually, it does. The literal root of the word is to carry, nothing. However, in our Gemara, we term it to mean, in our case, we're learning out from the pasuk of Binyamin, that means you can't eat it. And the Gemara's understanding, the reason you can't eat it is because it's Tommy. So the Gemara goes on to say, so another drosh we learn out from the says, how do you know if you're one step outside Yerushalayim, meaning the literal translation of the pasuk Kilisuchal Se'ese means you can't carry it. So that infers if you're miles away from Yerushalayim, you can't take all your produce up there, so you have to be poyder it. How do you know if you're literally one step outside Yerushalayim, you can't take it in? You can be poyder it and eat it outside Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, it's because of this pasuk kileisu chal seisai. I asked the Gemara, what do you mean? We just use that pasuk kileisu chal seisai to say if you can't eat it, i.e. if it's tummy. There's a Gemara, but there's an interesting terminology here, which is seis, meaning if it was only coming to tell you that it has you have that you can't carry it there, it should say kileisu chal litloi. And if it was only coming to tell you you can't eat it, it should say, why does it have to say an ambiguous term, which can mean either or? It can mean either carrying or it can mean eating. So the reason this says the Gemara is because we're going to learn both out, actually. Yeah, if only one limud was to be learned out of the pasuk, it should say, only one terminology, either kiluchal litloi or kilisuchal leichloi. So the Gemara goes on to say, Shaila, what happened? You know, we understand if he is, what happens if he's in literally in the gateway to Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, which way around is it? Is he inside or is the produce inside? Says the Gemara, if the produce is inside, that's obvious that it's considered inside Yerushalayim and you can't be poyder anymore. We said once it's Yerushalayim, you can't be poyder anymore. Only one if it's still outside. But what happens if he's inside, but his sack on his back is outside Yerushalayim? And that the Gemara says, the term, the pasuk says, Ki yuchak mincha hamakom mimenu'echa, from your whole being. Now, I'm not sure the way I said it last year. I think I might have said it wrong. The expression of this pasuk, mimenu'echa, means from your whole being. Yeah? So that we said that last time. The understanding of the Gemara is, it has to be a rochug from your whole being, and therefore, if part of you is inside Yerushalayim, then that already disqualifies you from being poideret. So the fact that you are in Yerushalayim, even though your produce is outside Yerushalayim, you as an entity with your produce is considered partly in Yerushalayim, and therefore you can't be poideret, even though the produce itself is actually outside Yerushalayim. Mnuecha means from your whole being, and your whole being comprises of you and your sack on your back. And therefore, since part of your entity is inside Yerushalayim, it's not considered anymore that it's rochik from your entity. Rather, part of your entity is inside Yerushalayim. We said last time we'll see Rashi inside. I'm not sure if it will help, but I think Rashi will help. Let's see Rashi inside how he explains this. It's in the wide lines of Rashi, three lines down towards the end of the line, women who work off. Says Rashi, Mikol Milu Shulcha, from your whole filling, from your whole entity. And the burden of a person is considered part of his entity. Meaning to say, Loi Tema Mimcha Mimcha, you could explain the pasuk to mean Mimcha, where it says in the pasuk Yerchak Mimcha Hamokim, when the place is far away from you, it means mimik tascha, from part of you. The Kol Zman Shirochim Tascha Yenifte, you could have understood it to mean any time a bit of you is far away already, that makes you allowed to be poideret. No, says the pasuk Mimnuecha, it means not mimik tascha, not from a part of you. Rather, it has to be far away from the whole entity of you. Meaning to say, let's start from the top. The pasuk says, "Ki yirachat mukha mokoin," when the place is far away from you, then you can be poider. Now, what happens if you are partly in and partly out? Is it considered far away from you? Are you considered inside or outside? Do we say that it's not rochik? You could say it in two ways. Do you say it's rochik from a part of you? Meaning as long as a part of you is outside Yerushalayim, that already qualifies you as someone who can be poisoned in Ma'aseh Sheni. Or do we say no? It has to be far away from your entirety. Meaning to say, if part of you is inside, then you can't be poisoned anymore. Again, this. A bit of you being inside, does the pasuk mean to say it has to be far away from a bit of you? So as long as a bit of you is outside, still good. Or it has to be far away from your entirety. So Rashi is saying it doesn't mean it has to be partly away from a bit of you. It has to be partly away from it. It has to be away from your entirety. That's what it means, mimluecha, from your entirety.
When you're inside, or your burden's inside, then
the place, meaning Yerushalayim, is not far away from your entirety. And you can't be poisoned anymore. Rather, you have to eat it there. So again, go back to the Gemara. The Gemara Shaila was, what happens if you're partly in and partly out? Says the Gemara, I understand it's posher to me. If only the produce is inside, well, then the produce is inside, and the subject matter is a produce. And this might answer your question from last week, Philip, that the subject matter is a produce at the end of the day. So it might be different to other things where not necessarily the subject matter is a produce, rather the jurisdiction we're in, and the parcel itself might have a bearing on what jurisdiction it's in. But here our focus is on the produce. So the produce at the end of the day is outside Yerushalayim. It's inside Yerushalayim. However, the other way around, where he's inside, but the produce is outside, There the Gemara comes with a chiddush and says, the produce is part of your being. That's stage one. The produce is part of your being. And not only that, is that when the Torah says you have to be outside Yerushalayim, it means your entirety has to be outside Yerushalayim. If, for example, part of you is inside Yerushalayim, that already compromises that and says, well, part of you is in Yerushalayim, inside Yerushalayim, therefore, it's not considered your entirety is outside Yerushalayim in order to qualify you to be Poydere. So now the Gemara, so it's a bit confusing that the expression, I think I even got it wrong, I said it wrong last year. Completely the opposite way around, because it was quite confusing at this point. But just, are we clear with the way I'm saying it now? That the idea of the drush, first of all, that the sack of your fat is considered your part of you. Don't say it's two parts. You're inside your shulayim, but the sack's outside, and you're focusing on the subject matter of the sack, which is outside your shulayim, and therefore we don't care. No, the sack and you are one entity. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two is that when the Torah says you have to be outside your shulayim, it's not enough that a part of you is outside your shulayim. Rather, all of you has to be outside your shulayim. So then the Gemara finishes off with one chiddush, one shayla. What happens when nokide bekanya mai? What happens if you've got a long stick with the sack at the end of a stick? So now the Gemara seems to, I'm not sure exactly how to pinpoint the shayla here, but it seems to be the Gemara saying, well, that's all very good. It's considered part of your entirety when it's a sack on your back. But where it's on a stick, and at the end of the stick is a produce, so then it's far away from your entirety. You can't say it's part of you. Or do you say, no, still it's part of you, and therefore, even though the stick is pointing outside your shulayim, and the sack's outside your shulayim, well, it's still part of your entity, and therefore, since you're inside your shulayim, the sack's also presented inside your shulayim. I think it's a way to understand the Gemara here. Do you see the difference? When it's on a stick on your back, sorry, when it's in a stick, maybe it's considered far away from your body, we won't consider it part of your entirety. Yeah, it does seem to be the way I explain it. Meaning, once it's on the stick, it's not part of you, it's not like part of Meluachot, rather it's outside of you, and therefore, maybe still you can be pointed down. The Gemara leads off with Teiku, which is basically, we don't know. Yeah, I think it stands for a certain acronym, which refers to Eliyahu Navi coming and answering this Shaila, it's Hashem. I think Tishbi Yoshev Kushus Fahavoyes. Tishbi refers to Eliyahu Novi. Eliyahu Novi, Eliyahu Tishbi. Yoshev, you should answer Kushus Kashis Fahavoyes and Shailas or something like that. But take it basically, we don't know. Okay. Should we go farther? Are we happy to go farther? Okay. Amar Basi, Amar Rabbi Yehudan. So three wide lines down your testament base. Amar Basi, Amar Rabbi Yehudan. Says Amar Basi in the name of Rabbi Yehudan. Ma'ase sheni me'emosai chayavin olav. When are you chayav malchus ma'ase sheni? Meaning to say, well, let's see the answer to Gemara to understand what exactly the shayah was. When it enters the walls of Yerushalayim, meaning to say, before Ma'aseh Sheni has come inside Yerushalayim, you don't get malchus for eating it outside Yerushalayim. Now Tosa asked a question here. What do you mean? We know there's a chiyuv, or not chiyuv, there's an allowance to be poiser Ma'aseh Sheni, if you can't take it up to Yerushalayim. That was the whole passage we were dealing with before. Ki yirchak b'mukha ha'mokoy, then you can take it up to Yerushalayim, you poider it. So what's going on over here? We say, What's going on? I was saying over here. What's going on over here? We're saying there's only a lab when it enters the walls of Yerushalayim. So before then, you don't have to be putting there. You can just eat the outside of Yerushalayim. So says Tosis, of course, the Gemara is only discussing Malkus. Of course, it is still an Issa to eat it outside Yerushalayim. And the Issa, Tosis says, comes from the Pasuk. The pasuk which says that you should be poider it indicates that you're not allowed to eat it before you're poider it. It's an issa asay. Yeah, we had this before, a month or two ago. An issa asay is where it's not a lav, it's not a transgression which says explicitly, but rather it's not an inference. If the Torah makes a commandment to be poider it, it must be you have to be poider it, otherwise you're not allowed to eat it. It's not explicit transgression, rather it's an inference. We can infer from the assay a transgression, which is known as the issa assay. So, of course, the Gemara's discussion is only that you're not chayiv malchus. However, you are chayiv, there's still an issa to eat it until you're poiter it. So the Gemara is saying, when you chayiv malchus, when you take it into Yerushalayim, and then you maybe take it out of Yerushalayim. So you take it into Yerushalayim, and then you take it outside Yerushalayim, and you eat it there. That's when you get malchus for eating Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim. Whereas if you never took it into Yerushalayim, there would be an Issa Asay to eat it, but it would not make you a Chayav malchus. So, says the Gemara, what's my timer? Where do we see this in the Pesukim? The Makra, the Pasuk says, Lepi Hashem Ezekechotin Halenu. One Pasuk says, this is in Devarim, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says that you should eat the Maisa Sheni, Lepi Hashem Ezekechot. Lepi Hashem Ezekechotin Halenu, eat it before Hashem, meaning to say in Yerushalayim. The Chesiv, and another Pasuk, this is Yud Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, a previous Pasuk to this one, literally the passage before, it says, Kilo Yisuchal Alecho Bishorecho, if you can't eat it, Bishorecho, sorry, Lo Yisuchal Alecho Bishorecho, and it has a whole list of things, including Maisa Sheni, meaning don't eat Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim. So the first passage says, don't eat Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim, and the following passage says, rather eat it if Nei Hashem Lekecho. So the Gemara explains the fact that they're next to each other, we had this before, tells us that we can learn a din from one to the other. And what does it tell us? Says the Gemara, any time that it's subject to the meaning to say it's got that context, meaning to say it's inside Yerushalayim, then it has a transgression of not eating it outside Yerushalayim. Meaning to, the fact that the pesukim are juxtaposed one another means to say that the lav of eating it outside Yerushalayim is only applicable when it had the opportunity to eat it inside Yerushalayim. And the flip side is we call hecha the leikarin of bein if nei Hashem lekechot hichlelu. Anytime it's not subject, it doesn't have the opportunity of eating it if nei Hashem, meaning to say it never entered Yerushalayim. Then leikarin of bein leisuch alechol b'sharecho. Then it's not, you are not allowed to eat it b'sharecho. Then it's not, it doesn't have the lav of leisuch alechol b'sharecho. So again, the juxtaposition of one to the other is coming to tell you that the lab of Leisuch Halach B'Sharecha is only there when there's an opportunity or had the opportunity of eating inside Yerushalayim. So the only basically what we're narrowing down to this tomorrow is when you have a lab of eating Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim is when you took it inside Yerushalayim to have the opportunity of eating it, and then you take it outside and you eat it there. That's when you be Chayav Malchus. So ask the Gemara, Meisvei. Rabbi Yossi says, Koyin shall also be yodei to Eino shel Tevel. Let's say a Koyin happens to get hold of a fig, which is Tevel. Okay, nowadays, there'll be other problems eating fig because very infested figs. I don't know if anyone's ever had figs, but I think once someone checked for me a fig, but apparently they're very infested. Not very happy, not people aren't very happy to eat them. But let's say a Kohen gets hold of a fig, which is tevel, so he hasn't taken trimmers and misers from. So a Kohen, can he eat tevel? No, he still has, even though he's a Kohen himself, before he eat, you know, I know, a Kohen can eat trimmers and misers, can eat everything. So what's been still, since it's tevel, there's a law for everyone to eat tevel. The Kohen first has to separate the trimmers and misers. Once he separated it, then he can eat all of it. So before he separated it, it's tevel, and it's allowed for anyone to eat tevel. So what's he do? Oh my, he doesn't have to actually separate it out physically and take a piece of the fig and place a foot on the side. But he does have to designate. We had this, I think, a day ago. How long did we have this? I think we had this in the Gemara. No, he has to designate called Kriya Shein. He has to call a certain part of this fig to be this part's going to be Truma, this part's going to be Maestro, etc. So this is the Gemara is expressing this din in this form. So he's got this fig which is Tevel, and he says, Tainazu, this fig, Trumasa Be'ukta, the Truma should be towards its stem. Maeserishin, but Tzvoina, the Maeserishin, meaning to say normal Maeseris, should be in the top of the north, so the top part of the thing. Maeserishin in the Drema, and the Maeserishin should be in the southern side of the thing. Vishnas Maeserishin, let's say the case is that it's a year of Maeserishin, which means to say the first 2 years of the cycle and the fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, that's the years of Maaseh Sheni. The other 2 years, the third and the sixth year, are the years of Maaseh Oni. For who of Yerushalayim, and he happens to be in Yerushalayim, Oi Maaseh Oni, let's say it's the years of Maaseh Oni, the third and the sixth year, for who Bulin, and he is outside Yerushalayim. This Gemara is basically speaking out what the case is. Then, Ochla, if he eats it, Loike Achas, he still gets one set of Malkus. Why? Although what he's done here is he separated out all the trimmers and mice. Well, we thought he separated out all the trimmers and mice by saying this should be trimmers in this part of the fig, and that should be mice in that part of the fig, and mice in Shani also. So you'd think he's done everything. He's also inside Yerushalayim, or it's not mice in Shani, it's mice in Oni, so he's outside Yerushalayim. So why is he getting Malkus? Because, well, Rashi explains, because he hasn't separated out Trumas Maeser. Even when someone's separated out Maeserus, Maeserushin, which goes to the Levi, he still has to separate the Truma of the Maeser. Meaning, say, he separated Trumas already, but Truma has to still be taken from that, the Maeser he separated. So Maeser's a tenth, and then he has to take from that tenth a 50th to be Truma. So meaning that the overall truma he took isn't part of the trumas maaser. So he still gets one set of malchus. Why? Because he ate maaser, which is tevel. He hasn't finished separating out all the trumas and maasers, meaning to say one thing left out, and therefore it's still considered tevel on that part, and he ate the whole thing. So you still get malchus for that. And if he's not a Kohen, if he's a Zohar who eats it, he gets two sets of Malkus. Why? One, because it's Truma, he ate some Truma. And two, because he ate some Tevel, because he didn't separate out Truma's Maaser. So again, what's the case? The case is, a Kohen has a fig. He separates out Truma's and Maaser's by calling him in different parts of a fig, should be Truma's and Maaser's, and that's sufficient if he's a Kohen. However, he lacked one thing, which is he forgot to separate out Trumas Maeserus. Or if he's a Zohar, he gets two sets of, he gets one set of Malkus. And if he's a Zohar, he would get two sets of Malkus, one for eating Truma, because although he separated out Truma, he's not allowed to eat it. And number two, he ate Trumas, he ate Tevel of Trumas Maeser because he didn't separate out Trumas Maeser yet. Now, what's a Kasha? Let's say he didn't separate anything out. How many chiyuv malchus are there? One, because of tevel. Meaning what to say? Although the zar now he's a zar who eats it is chiyuv two, but if he never separated anything out, he'd be better off because he'd only be chiyuv one set of malchus. Because before it was all tevel, so it was one lav not to eat tevel. However, now there's two lavim, one not to eat truma. And two, not to eat tevel. Separate lavim, two separate malchus. So it's a funny case where he does partly separates trumas and maestros, but he's worse off in the fact that he gets two sets of malchus.
But truma is much more serious than tevel.
I think you're right in the fact that truma gets pieces spaced in. So. Sorry, Misa de Shemayim. I don't think Tevel doesn't get Misa de Shemayim. I'm not sure. So if that's true, I think you're right. Do you think any other reason why Trim is more severe than Tevel?
Just because Trimmer is specifically to do with the Cohen's portion.
True, but what Tevel is. Tevel is when it's before it's been separated. So you can argue that when it's tevel, it's basically truma and normal things mixed up together. That's what you could argue. That's how the status is considered.
Once it becomes truma, its status is kadosh.
Yeah, but maybe before, even when it was tevel, it had kedusha. Just the kedusha was mixed around altogether. You're assuming, and I'm not saying you're wrong, it might be, I'm not certain you're right, is that when you separate out truma, the status becomes elevated. Now, I'm just proposing to you that maybe when it's tevel, it's always got elevated status, just we haven't separated out the elevated status from it, rather it's all mixed up with it.
Now, right, okay.
I think you're right, but I'm not certain.
But I suppose it goes back to the original concept that if there's no punishment in this world, then you have to still have lashes, even if it sounds like a lesser punishment than, say, kares. You still have to have something, some punishment in this world.
Right, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So even if it's Mr. Shmein, meaning to say. This price is not really dealing with which is more severe. The price is just, in a way, telling us a chidush. Like, sometimes you can get halfway there and be worse off in the fact that you get two sets of malchus. It could be in the overall Gan Eden Gehinnom Heshbon, he's better off. But practical terms, in this world, we'll get two sets of malchus. Okay, so let's just finish up the question because we don't have time. So the question is, ask the Gemara, time of the East of Yerushalayim, the Braisa mentions he's inside Yerushalayim. Yeah, because if he wasn't inside Yerushalayim, what would be the problem? Maisa Sheni, he's eating Maisa Sheni. Yeah, he should get Malchus off Maisa Sheni. Haba Gevulin, Leika Shalish. If he was in outside Yerushalayim, he'd get three sets of malchus. Why the extra one for eating Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim? Even though we're not necessarily talking about a case where it was inside Yerushalayim originally. We were just talking about there has to be inside Yerushalayim in order to get malchus. It has to have the opportunity to eat it for heter. So who says here it was inside Yerushalayim in the first place? So we see you get malchus, you would have got malchus, even if eating it outside Yerushalayim when it never came inside Yerushalayim. That's Gemara's kasha. Okay, so we have to wrap up there for today.